You wait. You just wait. If you hang around long enough, you're going to blink your eyes, and those kids are headed off to Bible school. And then those kids are coming back, and they're changing the world. Because parents, you know this, right? You just blink your eyes like, whoa, where'd the time go? My child was just in preschool, and now they're in high school. Time goes fast. And the investment that's happening right here in these kids, and twice as many that as that were on the stage, God's touching their lives. And if you get them young, there's so much more likelihood that they're going to stay throughout their life. Because the Word of God promises that. Train up your children the way they should go. When they're old, they'll not depart from it. That's God's truth. Amen? Amen. Such a great job. And all who helped, we're really thankful. Well, let's get into the Word this morning. I've got just a few minutes today that we're going to talk about real nature, the nature of real church, kindness. Let's say our verse together, Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23. Say it with me. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. That's God's nature. It's God's Spirit. When God comes into your life, when you open up yourself and say, Lord, I want you to control my life. I want you to come in. He does. And when he comes in, he doesn't just come in, you know, kick his feet up and grab the remote. He gets in your life and he starts working. And what he's working at is transforming our nature into his nature. And when we do that collectively, we become the people of God. That's unstoppable. Because God said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We become the real church that God designed. We've talked about love, joy, peace, and patience. Today we stop on the word kindness. Everybody say kindness. Stopping right there. The young woman stumbled off the subway after work. It was a long day, exhausted. The sun had already set. It was dark. It gets a little scary at nighttime in Manhattan. She stopped by the grocery store, wanted to grab just a snack, just to treat herself before she made her way home. And in front of her was a man, maybe two times her size, a big man. And he turned and noticed her and he said, you look really tired. And she got uncomfortable immediately because when it's dark and it's in the city and a strange man talks to a young woman, it makes you nervous. And so she fumbled a little bit and kind of got herself composed. And he turned to the woman at the counter and said, whatever she's got, I'll pay for it. And the woman said, no, you don't have to do that. No. Expecting maybe that there was a catch. And he said, no. I won't hear of it. I'm going to pay for your things. And he said, hope this makes you feel better. And he walked away and she never saw him again. That's kindness. Years ago here at this church, we had a young man. He didn't want credit. He didn't want to be noticed. He didn't want any praise. But at that time, we didn't have the excellent groundskeeping that we have now. And so sometimes the place needed a little bit of pickup. And he would come at least once a week, and he'd come with a big black trash bag, and he'd pick up all the stuff, all the debris that the wind would blow in or that would be dropped. That's kindness. As a college-age girl, she heard of an elderly woman nearby, and this elderly woman was struggling with her mobility, so she needed someone to help her get into bed each night and to get herself ready and just to make sure the house was secured. And so this college lady said, I'll do that. And the woman demanded that she pay her. So she paid her $1. But each night she'd go over to the woman's house. She'd make sure she was okay at night, tuck her in, turn off all the lights, lock the doors, and leave. That's kindness. Here's what I know about kindness. Kind people usually have a lot of friends. Who doesn't like to hang around a kind person? We all like that. Nobody likes to hang around the grump or the grouch or the selfish one. Kindness is an attitude that puts others first. It looks out for others' interests and is happy to do it, not obligated. You've heard the phrase, try a little kindness. It's good to think about that. We need more kindness in the world. Or you may have heard of the random acts of kindness. Those tend to freak people out, because when there's a random act, somebody's always watching for where the catch is. Where are the strings attached? Why can't we just be kind? You know, if anybody's going to be kind, it ought to be a Christian. If there's any sweetness in the world, it ought to come from Christians. If there's any warmth, it ought to come from Christians. Because Jesus is kind. We've talked about love, joy, and peace, and those are the foundation. Love is the most excellent way. The greatest of all, the Bible says, is love. And when we love, that produces joy, because when you're loved, you can't deny the joy that wells up inside of you. And when you're joyful and you know you're loved by the supreme high God, that puts you at ease and it makes you rest. It gives you that peace. Similar to love, joy, and peace, now they work together. So these next three of the fruit of the Spirit, the patience, the kindness, and the goodness, they also work together. Kindness means the warm-hearted, considerate, sympathetic person. I'm going to pull this away a little bit. Here, I'm making too much noise. Kindness, the warm-hearted, considerate, sympathetic. 1 Corinthians 13 says this, "And now I will show you the most excellent way. Love is patient. Love is kind." They go together. Patience, you could say, is love on the inside. It's that internal determination to stay, to not boil over, the way we talked about last week, to not have a short fuse, but to have a long fuse. Kindness is that love on the outside. It's that demeanor, that warmth, that sweetness, that giving nature. Goodness is love in action. We're going to talk about that next week. Goodness would be maybe Jesus in the temple. Goodness doesn't always appear sweet. When Jesus overthrew the tables in the temple, that didn't look very kind, did it? That looked mad. But let me tell you, there was tremendous kindness in that aggressive action, because Jesus needed to teach them how to honor the house of God and how to honor God. Kindness on the other side would be Jesus receiving the prostitute woman with compassion and warmth. The woman who was shy and wondered if she'd be accepted. But Jesus welcomed her. He didn't ridicule her. He didn't shame her. He let her come. He let her worship him. These characteristics, love, joy, peace, patience, and now kindness and goodness this week and next week, are the things that God wants to transform us into. God loves those who drive us nuts. Because we love God, we'll be patient with others. God is kind to everyone, and because we love God, we ought to be kind to everyone. God is good to everyone, and we love God, so we ought to be good to everyone. Let's look at some characteristics of kindness. How many would think that kindness is easier than patience? Anybody think that? Okay, how many think patience is easier than kindness? Okay. Almost no one raised their hands to either question. This was like an either or, okay? There was no middle thing there. Well, some of you might think that patience is harder than kindness. I tend to think that, but I'm not sure that's true. Because I can be patient with someone and not strike out at them, not get mad at them, not get aggressive toward them, but that doesn't mean that I really feel that in my heart. It just means that I've withheld unkind actions. I can put on a smile and have my fuse be long, but inside, I'm just dying to get a hold of that person's throat. Am I alone here? You put on the face, you say the right words, you don't, you know, okay, you know, yeah, it's all right, no, don't worry about it, and inside you're thinking, I just want to just, oh. There's a difference. So when a doctor touches that sore spot and says, "Does that hurt?" and you jump out of the chair, that wasn't unkind, although it felt it. How else are we going to be healed unless the painful spot is identified? We've got to be kind. I'll say kindness is harder than patience because we can be friendly. I may not hit you, but will I give you a gift? Kindness will give the gift. Let's look at three things, three characteristics of kindness. Number one, Jesus is kind to everybody. Jesus was kind to those who loved him. Jesus was kind to those who hated him. He didn't differentiate between who he would be kind to and who he wouldn't be kind to. He was simply kind. And so ought a Christian. Jesus' kindness had no qualifications. You can't find a scripture that puts qualifiers on kindness. Well, be kind unless this happens, and then you can be mean. Or be kind unless the person says this to you, and then go for the eye for the eye, tooth for the tooth. No, Jesus said turn the other cheek. God's kindness came out in different ways. I've already mentioned turning the tables, or sometimes saying things like, get behind me, Satan, to one of the disciples. But how many know when God rebukes us, he rebukes us in his kindness? Because he's not wanting us to mess our lives up. And sometimes we need it to be told to us loudly. Sometimes we need to have it told to us aggressively, so we'll shake ourselves loose from the dumb things we're about to do. And God needs to get after us a little bit. Here's what 2 Timothy 2:24 says. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone. If you're the Lord's servant today, that's your command. Not to be quarrelsome, but to be kind to everybody. Well, what does everybody include? Well, it includes your enemies, first bullet point. Here's what Luke 6:35 says. Ben read it this morning. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. Because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. I want to circle that phrase because I know I need that phrase. He is kind to the ungrateful and the unwicked. How many find it easy to be kind to people who you know will say thank you? Of course. It's nice to be kind when there's reciprocation, right? You tend to give a gift again to someone who sent you a nice thank you note. I saw actually a Facebook post this week from a high school, actually a middle school friend, and she said, I'm sorry, I just have to vent. And anytime I see that phrase on Facebook, I think two things. I'm going to read this, and oh, this person's in trouble. Because when they're going to vent, they're going to get a backlash. And she actually wrote this. She said, I don't understand parents today. Why don't they teach gratitude? I had five different families, I went to five different events, and in each event, I gave gifts to each one and only received one out of five thank you cards back. What's wrong with people today that they can't simply teach their children to have some gratitude? And I thought in my heart, I wonder if these people are her friends on Facebook. And I wonder if they still are after they realize they didn't write her a thank you note. But you get the point, right? It's easy to be kind to people that reciprocate. And if they don't, it makes you mad. Jesus said he's kind to the ungrateful. He says he's kind to the wicked. I can think of a lot of wicked people right now. People that are just horrible. Would I be kind if any one of those walked in the door right now? Or would I just go, why are you even here? I wish you weren't. Go somewhere else. And Jesus would be kind to them. That's hard, isn't it? But that's what he says. Be kind to your enemies. Notice how the words here, goodness, kindness, and love, all work together in this one passage. It's a powerful truth. How do you even start being kind to your enemies? You know where you start? Find the people, think about the people that you would say, yeah, this one I can't handle. Put their name on your prayer list. Begin to pray for them. Ask God to change your heart toward them. Because you see, you can't do this on your own. You can't go out of here and go, okay, the scripture says, and pastor said, I've got to be kind to even the ungrateful and my enemies. You won't do it. You won't succeed if you just determine to do it. Because we're not naturally like that. That's why we need the fruit of the Spirit in our lives to transform us into his nature. His nature can do that. Yours can't. So pray for them and begin to let him transform your nature into his. Here's the next step as you pray for them. And this is a hard one. Not only pray, ask God to bless them. Ask God to bless them and show himself to them. You know how hard it is to be really, really ticked at someone you're asking God to bless? But ask God to show him or her his love. Ask God to reveal himself to them. Whether at work, at school, wherever it is. Be kind to your enemies. Second bullet, be kind to the needy. Here's some Proverbs for you. Blessed is the one who is kind to the needy. If you're kind to the needy, God will bless you. Next one, whoever is kind to the needy honors God. You want to honor God? Of course we do. We just sang praises. That's the easy part. Well, you honor God greatly when you honor those or when you are kind to those who have needs. Next one says, he who is kind to the poor loans to the Lord and he will reward him. Interesting, right? Jesus echoed that statement when he said in the New Testament that when you have done unto the least of these, clothed the naked, fed the hungry, gave water to the thirsty, visited those in prison, says, when you've done to the least of these, you've done it unto me. Says the same thing in the Proverbs. He who is kind to the poor loans to the Lord. Now I know there's a little bit of wisdom that needs to come here. And I get it. I understand that we can enable the needy. I get that a lot of the people that are panhandling on our freeway on-ramps and off-ramps, I know and we all know that if we give to them that we're, you know, possibly supporting a drug habit or an alcohol habit. I get all that and how that all works. But you know, it's better not to just ignore, better instead to ask God for discernment. Here's what I know about God. He knows the people that you don't know. He knows the heart you don't know. He knows the situation you don't know. And sometimes there may be a check in your spirit that says, you know, you may be enabling this one, but there's others that God will say, this one really has a need. Go ahead and be generous. And I'd rather err on the side of generosity anyway. Pastor, how do I even start being kind to the needy this way? Well, what if you don't have the money to do it? Well, how about doing some things that are just nice? How about just taking something next door to your neighbor? Now, they're not needy, but just being kind to other people. What I like to do, and I do this quite frequently, I like to clean the restroom after I'm done. Not just in church, but in other places. So that when the next person comes in, it's not funky. It's not gross. How about like the story I told of the girl in Manhattan, maybe buy the coffee of the person behind you. Pick up the check and tip well. Put away the shopping cart instead of leaving it in the parking space and blocking for the next car. Does that drive you nuts? Me too. Oh, I got a spot. Oh, there's a cart. This is easy stuff. Now that's not even to the needy. That's just paying attention and being kind. Last one, be kind to the family of God. Galatians 6:10 says, be kind to everyone, especially, everybody say especially, especially to the family of believers. Sometimes we can just kind of overlook each other because we're so busy about, you know, being kind to everybody else. But no, especially to those in this room right now. Every parent loves it when their children love each other. I did. When my kids were little and they were kind to each other, that's a win-win. Somebody you love is being nice to somebody else you love. That's great. And God loves that about us today. Why don't you take somebody to lunch? Be the first to ask. After church today, maybe. Take somebody out. You say, well, Pastor, you know, nobody ever asks me out. Nobody ever asks me to go to lunch. Well, why don't you be the first to reach out? That sounds familiar. One of our marker or one of our behaviors. Oh yeah, it's on the wall right there. Reach out first. Why don't you be the one who reaches out first? And even if you don't know the person, maybe you've seen them around. Say, you know, we don't know each other that well, but you know, we just heard about kindness and I'd like to get to know you. Some of my best friends I have today in my life are people who reached out just like that. That I don't know you well, but I'd like to. Let's go have lunch. And now I can't imagine my life without them. When we have the meal trains, people are in need. There's some needy folks in our church right now. Those that are sick. Oh man, I've been a beneficiary of your cooking. You guys can cook. And your Uber Eats cards are nice too. When someone's down, visit them. When someone's in need, lend a hand. Be kind to each other, especially those who are in the body. Number two, use kind words. Proverbs chapter 12, 25 says, an anxious heart weighs down a man, but a kind word cheers him up. How many love a kind word? You can go a long way in a kind word, can't you? You can go a long way when somebody says something nice and it, whoa, really? You really think that? Yeah, I really do. Man, that can make your day. It can make your 2 days. It can make your week. But you know, on the flip side, an unkind word, that can wreck your life. That can really, really devastate you. Cutting words. You're a failure. You're worthless. I don't love you anymore. You'll never amount to anything. You're ugly. You're a disgrace. I'll never forgive you. You're a disappointment. I don't want you. Some of you have heard those words. Whether you, when you were a child or grown up, maybe you suffered a split up of a marriage and had that person you once loved told you, I'm leaving. I don't want you. Words can hurt. They can devastate. That's why we've got to be kind with our words. Encouraging each other, using words. Remember the story of a little girl, the parents, true story, the parents loved this, their child, elementary age child, but she was active. Like one of those just zing, 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 all over the place and into stuff and always doing things. And so they just nicknamed her Tiger. And that's what they called her. Instead of her real name, they called her Tiger. And Tiger, come on over, time for dinner. Tiger, time to wash up. Tiger, it's time for shower. And Tiger continued to be a Tiger. Because she was living up to the name that her parents had given her until Tiger got to be pretty much more of a Tiger than they actually wanted. And they started to be concerned about her because she was starting to behave in ways that was just out of control. And they began to go to a counselor to find out, how can we help our daughter? She's just nuts. And the counselor, in a moment of wisdom, said, you call her Tiger, don't you? He says, yeah, because, you know, it's been her nickname since she was a little girl. He said, why don't you try calling her Angel? And they started to call her that. And it was strange for the little girl because that's not my name. My name's Tiger, but they kept it up and they were persistent. And as they were persistent, lo and behold, she began to change her behavior. She began to start acting more like a more proper young lady than a terror. And little by little, she began to live up to that label that she had placed on her. Fascinating, isn't it? That labels can actually turn our lives that way. And it was the simple words. Words. Words matter. I appreciate you because. I admire you because. I'm impressed with you because. You do that so well. You mean so much to me. You're special. You're a joy to be around. I'm proud of you. Thank you. Who doesn't like hearing those words? How do we do this practically? Use those words I just mentioned and encourage someone today. Maybe you can start with one of the little kids that you noticed up on stage. Just tell them, you are so good, I'm proud of you. Form a character with the words you use. But don't waste them on the kids only. How many of us adults could use a kind word now and then? I know I could. Be kind. Write a note. Tell someone you're proud of them. Tell someone you admire them. That goes a long way. And last, God is kind to us. Titus 3, 4, and 5 says this, but when the kindness and love of God appeared, He saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. Get that. When the kindness and love of God appeared. Who appeared? Who appeared? Jesus appeared. Jesus is the kindness and love of God. That's who He is. And when he appeared, he saved us. Not because of what we'd done. We're ungrateful and wicked. But because of his mercy. God's kindness is revealed in his mercy. His mercy doesn't give us what we deserve. See, grace and mercy are cousins. Grace is receiving what we didn't deserve. Mercy is not receiving what we do deserve. Because of God's mercy, I don't get the punishment I deserve. I'm a sinner. I'm a failure. I don't please God. But because of his mercy given to me by Jesus' work on the cross, now his mercy has been granted to me, and I'm not going to get the punishment that I deserve. And the very thing that follows is his grace. Now I am going to get what I don't deserve. I get to go to heaven. I get to be with him for all of eternity. I get to enjoy his love and all of his blessings. And I don't deserve one of them, and neither do you. His mercy comes because of his kindness. His grace is because of his kindness. The Bible says, don't you know that his kindness leads us to repentance? Romans 2:4. Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness? Tolerance and patience? Not realizing that God's kindness leads you to repentance? It's not God's anger that leads us to repentance. It's not God's wrath that leads us to repentance. It's not the fear of judgment that leads us to repentance. Here's what I know. When I was a young one, that was in the days in the 60s of the fire and brimstone preaching. And every sermon seemed to be like, if you said a bad word, if you did a wrong thing, if whatever, you're sure going to hell tonight. And I'd run down to the altars as a 5, 6, 7-year-old. And I'd ask God to forgive me, even though I'd asked him to forgive me and come into my heart the last week. Because the message was the same. And every week it was the same, the same, the same. At least it seemed like that in my brain. And I accepted Jesus into my heart about 600 times. Because I knew for sure that even though Jesus saved me last Sunday, what I had done that week, I'm sure going to hell for that now. Because his wrath didn't lead me to repentance. His wrath just scared the daylights out of me. That I wanted to make sure that I was right with him at any given time, lest I, get hit by a car and I just cussed before I got hit by the car and now I'm going to hell. That's the mind of a 6 or 7-year-old. And we know, of course, that God's grace is sufficient. Folks, it's not his wrath that leads us to repentance, it's his kindness. How many know that kindness breaks a hard soul more than wrath? When we receive love, when we know we deserve judgment, and yet judgment doesn't come, but love and kindness comes instead, that breaks a heart. There's a story about Bishop Fulton Sheen, a missionary bishop from the Catholic Church, but he tells the story of his visits to South Africa. And while he was there, he was ministering in a leper colony. And you've seen pictures, I'm sure, of leprous people, that their flesh just starts to be eaten away and it opens up into really gross, ugly sores. And you can't, it's contagious. So to get near them is even dangerous. And Bishop Sheen was ministering to these people. And he came to a man who had just a gaping gash in his body. And he had his crucifix on. And as he leaned over to minister to this person, the clasp on his crucifix came loose. And his crucifix slipped off the chain. It fell right into that gaping, pussy, open sore. And he said, at first I got disgusted. I got disgusted that my cross fell into that wound. And then I realized that's exactly where the cross belongs. That's exactly what the cross is about. If there's anything that the cross is about, it's about touching the wounds in people's lives. Whether it's physical or whether it's spiritual or whether it's emotional or whether it's mental, whatever the wound is, that's where the cross belongs. Because the cross is the emblem of kindness. Church, in a world that is so unkind, in a world that's even vicious, it's not a time for the church to get angry and wrathful and Even though there's a time to be angry and not sin. Hope you understand the difference. We can be angry and not sin. But the anger responding to anger, the vicious responding to vicious, the ugly responding to the ugly is not going to change a world. It's the kindness that leads to repentance. It's kindness. And that's what we need today. Jesus wrapped his waist with a towel. He got on his knees. He washed disciples' feet. That's kindness. But here's what he said. I've given you an example. Now do as I have done. That's our word for today. Jesus gave us his example. He took up his cross. And he said, now take up your cross daily and follow me. As I have taken up the water basin and the towel and washed your feet, now you take up your basin and towel and do to others as I have done to you. That's the kindness of God. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, that we will hunger and thirst for your Spirit. Lord, that we would be just thirsty for your living water. And God, that as you change our nature will truly transform so that we are kind people. I know it might take us a while to really work hard at it. At the beginning, it is difficult as we're wrestling against our own nature. But Lord, as we submit to you each day, as we surrender to you each day, as we obey you each day, you will gradually, we know, change our unkind nature into your kind nature. And then it becomes easy. Your word says, come to me. All you who are weary, who are burdened, come. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And I will give you rest for your souls. God, we want to come to you today. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, two questions. First question is for those who may not know Jesus as their Savior. His kindness leads you to repentance. I want to tell you right now, even though you may not know Jesus yet, God's not mad at you. He knows where you've been. He knows what you've done. He knows all the stuff you've been through. He knows, even if you've denied him, even if you've, you know, shaken your fist at him, he's not mad at you. Because he's kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. He's saying, I'm here. And I want to invite you in. I want to invite you into my family. You're not an outcast. You've not blown it so much that now it's too late. No. His kindness is generous. His kindness is unending. If you'd like to enter into the kindness of God by accepting Jesus, his son, it's as easy as saying, Lord Jesus, I want to follow you. Recognize you are the Son of God, the forgiver of my sin, and I want to invite you into my life. Online, I know I can't see you, but I hope you'll make that step today. Here in the building, is there anyone, that, just with a slip up of a hand, put it up, put it back down. Say, I'd like to make that decision today. I want to enter into the kindness of God. Accept him as my Savior. Seeing no hands. Second question is this, for those of us that are already walking with Jesus. And I know I've had to pray this throughout the week. God always does this to me. Whatever I'm preaching on, he always puts his finger on those areas of my life so I don't get up here as a hypocrite. And I know I've had to wrestle with some thoughts about certain ones, some in the past, where I just really have had bitterness. Things that God says no. Let me clean that out and let me replace it with kindness. How many would say this morning that said, I need that today. I need the kindness of God to fill my life so I can be kind to others. I'm going to pray for you. If you put up your hand, put it back down. Yeah. Yeah, all over. We're in the same boat, aren't we? That's humanity. We're in the same boat. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to linger a bit. Father, in Jesus' name, by the show of hands, we are a people admitting our frailty. We're admitting, Lord, that we're human and that we need the kindness of God to change our lives. We ask you, Lord, to come in and clean out any bitterness, to clean out any past pain, any residue of ugly words that have been said to us, or any ugly actions that have been done against us. God, help us to release those, and where forgiveness is necessary, help us to forgive so that, Lord, we can walk free, no longer locking ourselves in a self-locking prison. God, instead, replace that with your kindness. We might be kind to our enemies, kind to the needy, kind to each other, kind to our family, our coworkers, the broken, the hurting. God, fill us with your kindness, I pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's linger a little while this morning and pray that in. Here's what I know. It's not just a wham-bam, you know, ATM type thing we're dealing with right now. Okay, thanks God. Got your kindness. Bye. Now we need to pray this in. So I invite you to linger a bit and focus. And if you've got some internal just wounds, ask God to begin to do the healing work. And He'll show you what to do. Ask Him. Ask Him. He'll tell you. For those that would need some personal prayer, we'll have some folks up here ready to pray with you. Let's linger a little bit. If you've got to go, don't feel obligated. God bless you as you do. And have a great week until we come back together again, and we'll talk about goodness next Sunday. So let's linger a while, and let's enjoy His presence.